This has been a very difficult time for those who work at USDA. And I don't expect you to necessarily have sympathetic feelings about this, but this is a workforce over the last 3 years that's not had a pay increase. This is a workforce that faced last year the real threat of a government shutdown where their jobs would be put on hold. This is a workforce where over the last 3 years we have reduced our workforce by 8%, 6,500 workers, which means that somebody's doing double duty. This is a workforce whose operating budget, with the sequester that goes into effect today, will be less than it was in 2009. This is a workforce that really has had very little, if any, increases in budget for the last 3 years. This is a workforce that's now faced with sequester. And it's a workforce that is dedicated to you, dedicated to providing a degree of service to you that you depend on. But because of the sequester, our operating budget will be reduced by somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 billion to $1.5 billion. And you think, well, that's not a lot of money. But the way this is structured, every line item of our budget and every account that's not exempted by Congress has to be cut by a certain percentage. It's not a situation where we can take money from conservation and move it over into the Foreign Ag Service to make sure that trade isn't disrupted, or take money from a nutrition account and put it into food safety. Every account, every mission area, treated separately, but with the same level and percentage of cut. This is a workforce that understands that that cut has to be implemented in the remaining part of the fiscal year. So to give you a sense of this, if we're talking about somewhere between a 5, 6, 7, 8% cut, those are annual numbers. But if you only have 6 months left in the fiscal year, it's basically double that in terms of your returning remaining money. So if you have to cut your budget annually by 6%, you have to cut the remaining part of your budget that you have left by 12% to get to that 6% number. This is a workforce that understands the following consequences. And the Farm Service Agency, they know today when the President signs the order, because an agreement hasn't been reached, that there will be 34 to 35 million fewer credit dollars available for producers, which means roughly 1,500 folks who needed credit to operate or own a farm will not have access to that credit. They just simply won't be in business, or they won't be able to operate. It means that those folks at NRCS who want to do work on conservation will have to say to 2,600 people, we simply don't have the resources to be able to even help you get a conservation plan. And to another 11 to 12,000 people, you've got a plan, but we won't have the resources to fund the plan. It means for those folks who work in the Foreign Ag Service that they'll have fewer dollars to use in trade promotion. They won't be able to help the small businesses that are helping to promote the products that you all help to produce. And the facts are that that will probably mean about $500 million fewer trade opportunities, and Lord knows what it will do with our competitors and their ability to go into foreign markets and suggest that perhaps the American market is not as certain as it once was. And that may have long-term impacts. It means that those folks who work in research are going to have to let their land-grant university partners know that there's probably going to be about 60 million fewer dollars for research and probably 100 projects that we're not going to be able to fund, and all the people who were hired to do those projects won't be able to be hired. It'll mean roughly those folks working in nutrition, they'll have to tell 600,000 women, infants, and children that they won't be able to access the WIC program and the nutritional assistance and help because they're going to be put on a waiting list. And it means to all those folks who work or rely on meat to be processed and pork to be processed and poultry to be processed and eggs to be processed, that there will be a disruption in that process. Because make no mistake about it, there is not enough flexibility in this sequester language for me to move money around to avoid furloughs of food inspectors. It is not something I want to do. It's not something I like doing. But it is the law, and it's something I'm going to have to do unless this thing gets resolved. And when I do, it's not an inspector who's impacted, the roughly 8,000 inspectors and over 6,600 inspection facilities. It's the 250,000 other folks who work in those facilities whose lives are also going to be impacted. And it's going to be a loss of export opportunity because product will not be produced on those days when inspectors are furloughed because no meat can be processed on those days. And it's estimated that we're looking at potentially $8 billion less in exports. And that's roughly 60,000 jobs in addition to the 250,000 jobs, in addition to the 8,000 inspectors. And some may say, well, Mr. Secretary, can't you move money around? Can't you reduce the spending on travel and supplies and so forth? Well, folks, we've been doing that for the last 3 years. We saw this train coming down the track, and we really focused, as you would expect us to do from rural areas. You would expect us to be anticipating this. You would be expecting us to do a better job of using your taxpayer dollars wisely. So we engaged in this thing called the Blueprint for Stronger Service. It has involved closing 250 offices and labs and locations in every mission area across the USDA, reducing the workforce by 8%, strategically sourcing our purchases of technology and telecommunications equipment, saving millions of dollars, condensing the space that we have and not renting as much space as we used to, cutting down travel, cutting down supplies, cutting down conferences. The sum total of all that we've done up to this point is at least conservatively $700 million in savings and probably closer to $1 billion in savings. So we've done all of that easy lifting. So when they come and they say, take another 5 or 6% and do it in a 6 or 7 month period and do it in every line item, there's just not a lot that can be done. And frankly, I have to apologize to all of you because this is crazy what's happening. This shouldn't happen. In a functioning democracy, this shouldn't happen. People should recognize that we have fiscal issues and we've got to address them. And it's a combination of additional revenue and cuts. And it's a combination of doing some difficult, heavy lifting in programs that we love and tax loopholes and tax cuts that we love that we have to sacrifice and give up on. If everybody just gave a little, we could get this done. But unfortunately, what's happened in Washington is that nobody's listening to all of you. No one's listening to the reasonable people out in the countryside who just scratch their head at coffee shops and say, why can't they get along? Why can't they compromise? Why can't they reach a consensus? When everybody in the country knows what that consensus is. We're going to do our level best at USDA. Our level best at USDA to do this equitably, just to give you a sense of the challenges. There are some programs where we've already sent money out to people, and we still have money yet to send out to other people. When you have to cut the budget, what do? Do you ask those folks who've already got their money to pay it back? Or do you cut the folks who haven't gotten their money a little deeper? These are hard questions. So I said to our team yesterday, we're going to have three basic principles. First of all, we're going to be as equitable as we can be. Similarly situated folks ought to be treated similarly. Nobody should get a break. Everybody should be treated equally, if that's possible. Secondly, we should try to do this in a way that is the least disruptive to the people we care about. The farmers, the ranchers, the producers, the people who live, work, and raise their family in rural communities and those struggling families who need nutrition assistance. And third, we need to care about the people that work at USDA because they're the ones delivering the services. And we need to do this in a way that is fair to them as well. And that's my commitment to you. This is going to be a tough situation. It's going to require a lot of thought. It's already required an enormous amount of time, time that's not being spent on all the issues that we just discussed, climate change and trade and research and credit and farm bill and crop insurance and exports. I mean, all of these things that are important to us.